The job losses and stress of COVID-19 are combining to pose a huge challenge for people living close to the edge and for those trying to fight homelessness in Michigan's communities. Starla McDermott is Development Director at Guiding Light of Grand Rapids. Starla, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for welcoming.
So when you think about where the shelter stood at this time last year, how different are things right now?
Oh, completely different. March is when things started to change, but in January and February, I think my boss had an inclination, but we were just normal business as usual with our programming. We had a back to work program and recovery program. And yeah, at this time last year, no idea what it would be like today.
Yeah. How is it? Are things different just in terms of the number of people who need help, or is there something different in the composition of who's experiencing life in the street right now?
There's several different things have changed. Number one, because our number one goal is for the current clients that are in our building, our responsibility is to keep them healthy. And so it's a lot harder to do intakes because we're getting people tested before they come in. So it takes longer to get individuals into our programming. And then once they're in programming, we're actually really limiting their ability to be out and about. So they're doing programming, they're doing virtual classes, virtual AA meetings. They're somewhat locked down and safe and healthy unless they're going to work and then they come back in. The other piece, though, that we've noticed is that there is an increased need for shelter and for housing. In Grand Rapids, we've been seeing the tent cities growing along the river in Hartside Park. And so we started to realize that there's not going to be enough room because we also cannot have as many individuals in our buildings, not just us, but Degage, who's also in the Hartside neighborhood, Mel Trotter. Because of social distancing, we cannot house that many people. So we realized we were going to have to find another shelter solution to keep people warm and safe in the winter if they chose to come inside.
Yeah. Such a perfect storm between the distancing that's necessary to deal with COVID and the increase in population that needs your help right now. Would you say that you're seeing a different population, maybe in terms of more first-time clients?
Yes, yes. I mean, there's definitely some of the normal clients who choose to be outside, who do not want to come in, but the individuals who are going into the temporary shelter that we worked with to open with Mel Trotter, it definitely is some new people. We are also at Guiding Light, because we have a recovery program, we're seeing an increase. We had 17 inquiries of individuals looking for long-term recovery. The statistics have shown that liquor and alcohol purchases had skyrocketed since last March. And I think we're just beginning to see that those trickle of, down effects of individuals who are now really suffering from their addictions and asking for help.
Yeah. As much as there's been a ton of joking among those of us who are not in recovery and who have a roof over their heads, that sounds like a very dire situation.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
Would you say that you and the staff feel you have been able to accommodate the increase?
We have so far. The temporary shelter that we opened can accommodate 100 people. We can do more, but that would be meaning laying down more mats and things like that. So we have beds for 100 individuals. It's three floors, so one for women, one for men. We have not met full capacity there yet. So we do have that availability if we need to bring in more mats. But thankfully, we've not hit that part yet. We did, I think, hit about 80 individuals stayed there a couple of nights ago.
There's been a fair amount of controversy over the city's decision to clear people out of the encampment at Hartside Park and to move them into overflow shelter.
Yep.
Is there room for both options to exist, or are there solutions that we aren't thinking about yet?
Well, I think the number one solution is housing, and we're trying to tackle that. Again, that's another expense. Mel Trotter is kind of managing the day-to-day processes over at 250 Ionia, and they do have individuals that will meet with homeless and help them find housing if they want to do that. But if they don't want to do that, and the reason a lot of them, I think they don't, because they want to be in their community and their people and their friends. And that's when they're opting to have little camps together. No, I don't think that if that's what they want, I think that should be fine. And I think we should be able to then arm them with needed items to stay warm if they do choose to be in a camp. But we did want also give the option if somebody does want to get out of the cold that they have somewhere to go. If we did not have 250 Ionia, they would not have had that place to go.
What are the ways that you think about helping people who aren't willing to stay overnight in a shelter? I mean, you said make sure that they've got things they might need, like socks and I'm assuming blankets. But what's Grand Rapids' situation with mobile units? Are there enough providers who are out there helping folks who maybe don't come in?
There are the Homeless Outreach Task Force, which is kind of coordinated by the fire department. They do go out and check on people, encourage them to go into housing if they can. I know in the summertime they were handing out water and things like that. We have been partnering with other organizations like Heartside Ministries and going and picking up shoes. Wolverine has been donating shoes, and we will go all the way up to Howard City and pick those up and store those at Heartside Ministries for individuals to come. We have given the task force some items in the summer, you know, things like that. We do also hand out coats, boots. We do require new items now because of COVID, but ice or ski gloves, not just regular gloves, but ski gloves because they don't get wet is really popular. So there's just different organizations that are gathering these items so that if an individual does need them, they can go and pick them up. And then, of course, the Homeless Outreach Task Force is going around checking on everybody.
Starla, how hard is the pandemic making it for people to get back on their feet right now? I imagine that there aren't that many people who are willing to let go of supportive housing if they have it.
You know, what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing is the pandemic is affecting individuals that are a lot lower income. I think people that have better jobs or the higher income bracket, I don't sense that they're being affected as negatively as individuals who are in that low income. I did meet a lady the other day who she is newly homeless, and she was in the restaurant industry, a bartender, and unemployment isn't enough, you know, and the moratoriums for evictions were put off, but she was not on the lease. And so she had to, you know, get her roommate kicked her out. So I'm seeing it more new people, women I'm seeing, and definitely more low income that are being impacted, I think, harder with this pandemic and employment than most people.
Do you have any sense of how the pandemic is affecting the traditional rental market, the lower cost places where folks might stay?
You know, I don't know that. I know that we are trying to buy more housing, and that's been a little bit more difficult than we thought, because we don't want to sit there and have a bidding war for apartment buildings. You know, because we do have housing, we call them Iron House, and we have 32 apartments. We're trying to get another 7-unit building so that we can get people through programming and get them into housing. But the market is really expensive to buy. I don't have an answer in regards to rent, how that is, if it's harder to get people into rentals. Rent is super expensive in Grand Rapids. So I can't imagine that it's very easy for somebody who has been evicted or who has had a job loss to be able to afford or get even approved into, you know, an expensive apartment that's in Grand Rapids.
What about the issues of substance abuse that people might be dealing with? Is the pandemic making it more difficult for people who may have had a relapse or maybe have never been in a program before to get to meetings or find meetings that are appropriately distanced or conducted over media?
Yes, that is definitely one thing when you are going through recovery. Community is really important and you need support. And everything is pretty much virtual right now. So that was another goal, was us to really try to build a nice, tight-knit community for the clients that are in Guiding Light so that they don't lose that sense of just feeling lonely. We need to, you know, make sure that they feel like they're part of something. And it's hard because AA is completely virtual. And sometimes even the therapy now is completely virtual. We're getting a lot of inquiries, but we really think that it's going to really be more noticeable after the eviction and foreclosure moratoriums come lifted, because a lot of people can hide their addictions when they're kind of being sheltered at home. So we do feel like there's going to be an issue with evictions, and a whole bunch of people are going to be out on the street, but there's going to be people who are then going to also be reaching out for recovery help. Even the different Pine Rest, they're not at full capacity for detox. People are not reaching out just yet. So, which in turn, even though we're getting some intakes, we could be at full capacity and we're not right now in the recovery program that we have.
Another thing about evictions is that they can do real damage to someone's ability to find secure housing down the road. Do you think about the kind of impact the pandemic and subsequent evictions are going to have on people's housing security, even after we get COVID under control at some point?
Yes, I believe that 2022 is really going to be hard on a lot of people. And that was exactly why Guiding Light went from being a traditional shelter. We went through more programming, and we have the Back to Work program and we have the recovery program. In 2008, when we had, you know, the economy issue, there was a lot of homeless individuals then and there weren't jobs. So what Guiding Light did is they created Back to Work, in essence, as a safe place for individuals who have just hit rock bottom, have been evicted. They probably have bank accounts that were overdrawn and a lot of fees, so they can't even get a bank account now. So then they can come into Guiding Light and have safe housing, not worry about getting meals, and can stay there for 120 days and work with counselors to get a job, number one, and we'll help you find work, but then save your money and start tackling those different things and stay with us for 120 days stress-free so that you can tackle those things, evictions and bank issues and credit card issues that would prevent you from getting a lease and getting approved for a lease. And that's what we did in 2009, 2010. And I think that's really what we're going to have to do again at the end of 2021 and into 2022 is just be solely focusing on helping individuals tackle that debt so they can get into housing.
Starla McDermott is Development Director at Guiding Light of Grand Rapids. Starla, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.